Good morning. Well, this morning's message is on kindness. And I thought I would start with a video example of what kindness looks like. First of all, we want to look at what is kindness. We think about kindness, you know, it's one of those words that we use a lot, but we really don't think much about. And if you look in the dictionary, well, first of all, what is the first rule of a definition? Exactly. Thank you very much. You don't use the word that you're describing in the word that you're describing. Okay, so I went online to look for a definition of kindness. And guess what all the definitions of kindness say? A kind act. So, I said, well, let's go back to the experts, and I pulled up the 1828 dictionary, back when they actually knew what words meant. And the definition of kindness is goodwill, benevolence, the temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. It's a temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. Well, probably one of the most well-known verses when you think of the word kind, and you say, what does the Bible say about being kind? Probably most people would think of Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. One of the things that kindness is forgiving people around you. People that have wronged you, people that have done things to you that were nice, they've used you. Kindness is forgiveness. Because you see, kindness is love in action. When we think about kindness, you know, there's a phrase that goes, I'm not sure that I could describe it, but I know what it is when I see it. You heard that before? And love is a lot like that. Sometimes we can't really say what is love, but we know it when we see it. And this, what we see to know as love is often kindness. In 1 John 3:16 through 18, it says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Our love for people is demonstrated in our kindness towards them. And we know that from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. This is what you know. When you see this, you'll know it's love. When you see patience and kindness, not envy, not boasting, not arrogant, and we could continue on that list in 1 Corinthians. So kindness is love. But what is kindness? Probably the most simplest way to put it is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Putting others first is the simple way to see what kindness is. In Romans 15, verses 1 through 3, we see that we have an obligation to be kind to others. It says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. You see, God has given us a challenge. Oftentimes we think of our Christian life as, I have my wants and my desires, and now that I am a Christian, I am free in Christ to pursue my wants and desires. That's not how it works. That's not what God came for. He didn't die to give you the ability to go out and please yourself. He died and separated you from sin so that you could serve others. Most importantly, so that you could serve Him. And so we die to ourselves as believers in Christ. We die to our wants, and we put others above ourselves. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. What would that look like here in our church if we had a contest to see who could show the most honor to each other? Boy, it'd be a little bit different place in here, wouldn't it? What if we had that in our community? An attitude of, I am going to outdo you in showing honor. I am going to outdo you in being kind to others. Boy, that would be a different community that we would have. But you might ask a question, why should I be kind? What did my neighbor do to deserve my kindness? What did a stranger do to deserve? What did my family do? My wife, my beautiful wife, do to deserve my kindness? Well, let's take a minute and look at that. Here's some reasons why you should be kind. First of all, in Proverbs, we see in Proverbs 11:17, it says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. So, one reason to be kind is for the benefits. You see, the Scripture teaches us over and over and over and over again that if we are kind to others, we will receive a blessing from God. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, which is reviling is like a making fun of somebody or a smart aleck comment. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes in the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves in heaven as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Scripture is teaching us that if we give to others, God will bless our lives. And Luke 6:38 puts it very plainly, give. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What is an example of this? While I was working on this sermon, the Lord showed me this passage, a great example of kindness. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha the prophet was on a trip, or not necessarily a trip, but going into through a city. It's called Shunem. And there was a woman that lived there. She was a wealthy woman. And she saw him and recognized that he was a man of God. And she asked him to come in and eat some food. She did this several times, and It got to be that whenever he passed by that way, he would go in there and eat. And one time she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way." You see, now she's got him, right? She's got him coming in, she's been feeding him, and now she can ask. Now she can ask for that thing that she's been wanting because she knows he's a man of God, right? She says, "Behold, I know that this holy man of God who is continually passing our way, let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, and a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." An act of kindness. She fed him, and she's continually thinking about his needs. And she said, "Let's put an office for him on the roof, so that whenever he comes to town, he has a place to go." Well, one day he came, and he went into the office and rested there. And he woke up, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, he said, "Call the woman." And he called her, and she stood there, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us, and what is to be done for you? What can I do in return for all this kind gesture?'" Well, she didn't give him an answer. So he asked the servant, "Well, what could we do for her?" Well, the servant said, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call to her." And when he called to her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you will embrace a son." But the woman conceived, and she... And the woman said, "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." That would be a big thing for a woman to have a son back in those days. We can read throughout Scripture, to have a son was a blessing from God. They saw that as a direct blessing from God, to have a son. And so she did not want him to throw that around unless he was very serious about it. "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring. Now, we could end the story there, and that would be a great example of kindness. But the story goes on. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said, "Oh, my head, my head." And the father said to his servant, "Take him to his mother." And he took him to the mother, and she sat there. He sat there on her lap until noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." "Well, why are you going to see him today? It's not the new moon and it's not Sabbath." She said, "All is well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Go straight, as fast as you can." And so she set out, came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Well, the man of God saw her coming, and he said to his servant, "Look, there is that woman. Go out there, meet her, and ask her, 'Is all well with you? Is your husband okay? Is your child okay?'" And he went out there, and she said, "All is fine." But once she got up to the man of God, she got down on her feet and caught hold of his feet. And the servant came to take her away, and the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." And she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" He said to the servant, "Tie up your garment and take my staff and go. And if you meet anyone, do not greet them. Go as fast as you can." So he arose, and the servant went on ahead, and he told him to take his staff and lay it on the face of the child. And he went and laid on the face of the child. There was no sound or sign of life. So he returned. The child has not awakened. But when Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself upon the flesh of the child, and the flesh became warm. And then he got up again and walked back and forth in the house, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And then he summoned to his servant, "Go get the woman." And he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." And she came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground, and picked up her son and went out. What an amazing experience. What an amazing experience to see God work in this child, for him to be dead, and to see him come back to life. Man, that would be awesome to be there. Our faith would skyrocket. We'd go out there and we'd tell everybody we saw, "Hey, do you know about my God? He raises people from the dead." But how did she get to experience that? How did she get to have that blessing in her life? It was through a simple act of kindness. It was through a simple putting other people's needs higher than my own. God blesses those who bless others. Another reason why it's good to show kindness is because we are God's chosen ones. God has called us with a mission. You see, Colossians 3 in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." We have been called by God as God's chosen one to show kindness to others. John chapter 13 says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.'" God came down. He sent his son down and died. He served us while he was here. And he has called us to serve others with kindness. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are to be a shining light, an example for other people around us. And they'll see our good works and they'll say, "You have a great God. He is mighty. He brings people back from the dead. He is concerned about us. He loves us. He provides our needs. We serve a great God." So, we got why we should be kind, but who should we be kind to? Because it's real easy to be kind to the people who are kind to us, right? I mean, we had Jerry and Carol over for dinner, and they've been very gracious to us. And it's very easy to be kind back to them because they're very kind people. But is that who God has called us to be kind to? Who should I be kind to? The first one is other believers. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith." In verses 1 and 2 in that same chapter says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we see that our first obligation
is to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to see them happy. That's what kindness is. We are more concerned about their happiness than ours. If we see somebody struggling, whether it be in sin, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual or emotional, we are to go to them and help them. Show kindness to them. The second people we want to show kindness to is our enemies. And that can be the hard one. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to us. And Luke 6 says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those to whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend and expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. You know, that's not a natural response. When people hurt us, we build a wall up because we don't want to get hurt. And so our natural response to somebody who is hurting us is to remove ourselves from that situation. But God has called us to be merciful. And so we have to take what is natural and change it with what is supernatural. And that is to ask God to come into our life and to help us love our enemies. For 30 years, Randy Murphy drove without a traffic incident, without being stopped by the police, and without a driver's license. And then the 46-year-old Knoxville, Tennessean native, his luck ran out. On his way home from work as a dishwasher, he increased the volume on his radio. Turning the corner, he was stopped by police officer Mark Taylor, who pulled him over because of the blaring music. When Officer Taylor asked Murphy for a driver's license, Murphy admitted he didn't have one, and he got him. Right? I got one. A ticket for you. No driving. Driving on without a license. And you would expect a police officer to be pleased with that because he's doing his job. But Officer Taylor asked Murphy why he didn't have a license. And Murphy said that he couldn't read enough to pass the written test. Well, what would be our response to that if we were a police officer? Well, then you shouldn't be driving if you can't read. Right? Well, Taylor instead told Murphy, if you are willing, I'd like to help you with the reading part of the test. And the police officer gave Murphy his pager number, and later that afternoon, Murphy paged Taylor to schedule their first meeting. And for the next 3 months, the men met several times a week to review the test booklet. And when Murphy felt ready, Taylor accompanied him to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Murphy had to take the test 6 times before he passed, and then he sailed through the road test. Taylor's act of kindness earned him the Officer of the Month award from the Knoxville Police Department. How many of us would, instead of seeing the violation, would see the need? How many of us would say, you know what, this guy, he needs help. He doesn't need me to tell him what's right and wrong. He needs my help. And how many of us would be willing to spend the time, the energy to do that? To help a man who needed help. And I'm not trying to say police are the enemy when I was drawing those conclusions. I greatly appreciate the police and what they do to help keep civilization in order. But so oftentimes, the people that we should be against, we really need to show them the kind of love that this officer showed. To protect and to serve. That's what policemen are called to do. And we, as Christians, are called to do the same. To protect and to serve. When we look at kindness, the greatest possible kindness is found in John 15:13. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." The kindest act ever was recorded in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You see, God loved us. And out of his great love, he showed kindness to us. Titus 3:4-8 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." You see, God is so kind. He loved us so much that he sent a Redeemer. And if he was so kind to send his only Son to die, are we willing to be kind enough to share that good news? Are we willing to tell others about this great news that we have? So oftentimes we think people don't want to hear it. They're not good enough to hear it. They don't want Jesus. If they did, they'd come through our doors here, and they haven't, so they probably don't want it. And we're not willing to share that good news. There's a pastor of a church, his name is Jim Cimbala. He preaches at the church in the slums of New York City. He told of a story of an Easter Sunday. He said, "I was so tired at the end of the day that I just went to the edge of the platform. I pulled down my tie and sat down and draped my feet over the edge. It was a wonderful service with many people coming forward. The counselors were talking with these people. As I was sitting there, I looked up the middle aisle. And there in about the third row was a man who looked about 50, disheveled and filthy. He looked up at me rather sheepishly as if saying, 'Could I talk to you?' We have homeless people come in all the time, asking for money or whatever. So as I sat there, I said to myself, though I am ashamed of it, what a way to end a Sunday. I've had such a good time preaching and ministering, and here's a fellow probably just wanting some money for wine. He walked up, and when he got within about 5 feet, I could smell the awful smell, like I'd never smelled in my life. It was so awful that when he got close, I would inhale by looking away, and then I would talk to him, and then I would inhale by looking away, because I couldn't inhale facing him. I asked him, 'What's your name?' 'David.' 'How long have you been on the street?' 6 years. How old are you?" 32. He looked 50, hair matted, front teeth missing, eyes slightly glazed. "Where did you sleep last night, David?" "In an abandoned truck." "I keep in my back pocket a money clip that also holds some credit cards, and I fumbled to pick one out thinking, 'I'll give him some money, and I won't even get a volunteer.' They are all busy talking with others. Usually we don't give money to people. We take them to get something to eat or so on. But I took the money out, gave it to David,
David pushed his finger in front of me and he said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus, the one you were talking about, because I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die on the street. I completely forgot about David for a moment, and I started to weep for myself. I was going to give a couple of dollars to someone God had sent to me. See how easy it is? I could make the excuse, I was tired. There is no excuse. I was not seeing him in the way God sees him. I was not feeling what God feels. But oh, did that change. David just stood there. He didn't know what was happening. And I pleaded with God, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I am so sorry to repent you this way, to represent you this way. I am so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send somebody, and I am not ready for it. Oh God, something came over me. Suddenly I started to weep deeper, and David began to weep, and he fell against my chest. And as I was sitting there, he fell against my white shirt and tie, and I put my arms around him, and there we wept on each other. The smell of his person became a beautiful aroma. Here is what I thought the Lord made real to me. If you don't love this smell, I can't use you. Because this is why I called you where you are. This is what you are about. You are about this smell. Christ changed David's life. He started memorizing portions of Scripture that were incredible. We got him a place to live. We hired him in the church to do maintenance. We got his teeth fixed. And he was a handsome man when he came out of the hospital. They detoxed him in 6 days. And he spent that Thanksgiving at my house. He also spent Christmas at my house. And we were exchanging presents. He pulled out a little thing and he said, this is for you. And it was a little white hanky. It was the only thing he could afford. A year later, David got up and talked about his conversion to Christ. And the minute he took the mic, he began to speak. I said, this man is a preacher. And this past Easter, we ordained David. He is an associate minister of a church over in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying, here, take this. I'm a busy preacher. We can get so full of ourselves. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful to us. You are so kind and gentle. But oftentimes, Lord, we are so coarse. We are so concerned about our own self. We're selfish. Lord, please, we beg of you to bring your Holy Spirit into our lives and help us to be kind to others. Help us to recognize when you have given somebody to us to minister to, and not to be selfish and turn our backs away because we don't like the way they look or we don't like their attitude or we're not quite sure how to help. Lord, give us the kindness that only comes from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to come in?